we left off last week in verse 15, where Paul says that we need to be very careful how we live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And we talked about the whole issue of where he says in verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads you to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So we were talking about how we need to be very careful about our daily living. We need to be looking for opportunities to share the gospel with other people. And we spent some time talking about the idea of being under the influence of either, as he talks about here, wine or other things, versus being under the influence of the Spirit. One leads to all kinds of trouble. The other leads to a godly life, okay? So I encouraged you to do some homework. I don't know how many of you did any homework last week. In this next part here, where he talks about speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how many of you did your homework? Okay. We were discussing the whole issue of instrumental music here with this, because this is a passage, this and also the one over in Colossians that's very similar, that is oftentimes used by some of our scholarly brethren to justify not using instrumental music in worship. So I told you, do some research on that whole topic, and let's see what we can find from it. Now, before we begin discussing that, let me make sure that everybody understands. I am opposed to having instrumental music in worship, okay? I don't want anybody to misunderstand that, okay? But my reasons for opposing it, I'll share with you in a few minutes here, don't have anything to do with this passage or the one in Colossians, all right? I'll explain all that a little bit more. So what did you guys find out from doing your homework about instrumental music in worship?
Well, most of the New Testament church should follow what the New Testament says. And none of the scriptures that I saw in their worship and what we were supposed to do had any musical instruments in it.
Okay.
There might have been an instrument, but it wasn't in a worship service. So I believe the Church of Christ follows the New Testament example of singing hymns and spiritual songs. And we find in Romans 14:15, that we need to make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification, and songs do that.
Okay.
In Ephesians, oh, you said you're not doing Ephesians. Okay.
No, that's all right. That's all right. You're talking about Colossians.
Ephesians 5:19,
right.
That's what we were talking about. I like that one especially because it's using what our hearts do. Hebrews 2:12, let's see, I don't have them all marked, but Hebrews 2:12, I should have wrote down what it said, then they would have to look it up. But anyway, I was finding that more and more, it's because we're doing this to edify one another and to praise God. And there's even times for us to just sing because we can, because it makes us happy.
Okay.
Let's see, Hebrews 2:12, real quick. Here it is right here, 2:12. I will declare your name to my brothers in the presence of the congregation. I will sing your praises.
Okay.
I like that one. And then one more, James 5:15. I had a lot more in the Old Testament.
That's okay.
But we're sticking with that. Okay, and James 5, real quick, okay, right here, 5:15. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. And then it goes on, sick and all that other stuff. But we should be able to sing anytime and anywhere we want, especially to our God.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
So that's kind of where I came from there.
Okay. Chuck?
And again, God gave us the abilities and certain talents. But again, one of those which, again, we tend to discount is our ability to sing.
Okay.
Nowhere does God require us to sing on the a grand scale per se, you know, that we, God gives us the gift of song that he blessed us with, whether it's tenor, bass, whatever it is.
Or frog.
Yeah,
you know. Frog.
But again, too many people, I'm afraid, get discouraged, I guess, or they discount their gift. Even though the sound, whatever the sound God gave us, it is ours to use to praise him in the capacity that he granted us. And so when I sit in the forest and listen to all the different birds singing, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, each one has their own sound, the crow, the robin, the woodpecker, all those. And that's kind of like, in a sense, God looking down at us in here, and he hears Ray, he hears mm-hmm. Judy, he hears Lynette, he hears Charlotte, and all that to him. God, it's right. Beautiful, no matter how it comes out. And then when he goes in and says, I'm listening to Russ, I see his heart. I see joy. He's genuinely trying to praise me. That's what God ultimately wants. He doesn't want you to be a opera singer. Again, but if you're blessed with that, he still wants to hear from you.
Your
praises. Use your talents.
Okay.
We all have that ability. So, and again, Judy reminds me that, again, that no matter where the body of Christ meets, he has given us the tools, if you will, to sing and worship anywhere.
Okay.
You don't have to wait on a bass guitar. That's not required.
Okay.
1 Samuel 16:7 says, God looks and listens to our hearts, whether we can make a noise or not.
Okay. All right.
I've looked at the worship with instrumental music a couple of years back, and I kind of looked at it in a general point of view. I found out, first of all, that churches, when they were established, whether they were Baptist or Church of Christ or whatever, generally none of them worship with instrumental music. Mm-hmm. And once instrumental music was added to it, it built, okay, to where we now have more of an entertainment for the congregation than we really have a worship service.
Okay. Well, here's some things. Brian, go ahead.
Example that we're given is not necessarily worship, but we use Christ as our example.
Mm-hmm.
In Mark chapter 14, verse 26, and it says this, and when they had sung a hymn, they went to Mount Olive.
Yeah.
And right before he was crucified, and right before
Definitely.
He just had the supper with his disciples, they sung a hymn.
Okay.
And so if I follow Jesus' example as much as possible, he sang with a heart. He definitely prayed with a heart shortly after that at the garden.
Right. Okay.
And so I would focus more on the heart issue. And there's an example I can show where hymn was used.
Okay.
And it had to be in that form of worship.
Okay. Here's, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say it, making melody in your heart is like the wellspring that brings forth this music, right?
Okay, right.
So I think that's how it should be.
All right, well, here's some things I want you to think about, okay, on this whole topic. And you may or may not agree with me on this, and that's okay. You can be wrong if you want to. no, just say that in jest. I don't know what God's going to do concerning the issue of instrumental music. You know, is that going to be something that he's going to not allow people to get into heaven because they use instrumental music in worship? I don't know what he's going to do with it. I personally do not think that is a salvation issue. Okay? It could be what God's going to do with it. I don't know. All right? What I do know is that we have some things from the Scripture, and we also have some history that we need to consider, okay? And able to understand this. And my chief, desire here in talking about this morning is because I want you, that's the big topic, okay, with folks. And you're talking to people in your Jerusalem, and you're telling them about the church, and well, y'all don't use instrumental music, right? Why is that? And you go, what? I don't know. Okay? I want you to be able to give a reasonable answer as to why we don't. Okay? So here's some things to consider in all of this, all right? First of all, and we have, you know, I sat in a lectureship several years ago at Free Harmony University, and I listened to some of our renowned scholars in the Brotherhood talk about this passage and the one in Colossians, or both of them very similar, and they pick it apart and talk about how, you know, the word solo means to sing, it doesn't mean to pluck, and, you know, all this stuff, so there's no, you know, no justification for using instruments in music, and that's what it's talking about here, and they go to a great extent to show that this passage does not permit instrumental music in worship. And my first response to that is, this passage doesn't have anything to do with worship service. Okay? First of all, one of the basic fundamental rules in understanding scriptures is what?
Context.
You have to keep the passage in its context. Mm-hmm. All right? And so, as we've been studying all through Ephesians up to this point, what has the context been? Addressing Christians, basically what?
How to live life?
How do you live your everyday life? Okay, so it is intellectually and scripturally, scholarly dishonest to try to say all the rest of this is talking about the way we live our life from day to day, but this passage right here is about worship, because many of those same scholars will say, oh no. There's no problem if you want to use instrumental music in your home, you know, and singing and so forth. That's okay. Just we can't use it in worship based on this passage. And I'm going, that's dishonest. It's just simply irresponsible to take the scriptures and try to use them that way to prove a point that you believe something. It's what we so often get upset with other folks about, mm-hmm. twisting the scriptures to suit their own doctrines. Mm-hmm. Okay? So let's stop using this passage and the one in Colossians to justify not using instrumental music in worship, okay? There are some other things we need to consider about that.
All right, now, since we have been in the past and today, you know, studying about music and worship, I don't necessarily have a problem with it if I'm somewhere and they're playing music. Y'all go ahead. What I don't like, when they're plucking a guitar like you're on the stage and I'm getting ready to jump up and dance, I don't like that, because God did bless some people, not me, how to play an instrument. But since we have been studying back and now about music and worship, I know how better now to answer that question. Right. Basically, with any questions that other, you know, people might have, is that we go by the first century, how they practice. Yes. We are still practicing what they did, because is what God said. You know, we're not, you know, we try not to add our own little things in it. And then you don't get in an argument over whether they play music. And I see that too. Why are you arguing about this?
Yeah.
If you're practicing what God said, that's one thing you're practicing. Just make sure you're doing everything.
Right.
Because say it's gonna be a hiccup and somebody gonna see you doing something you're not supposed to be doing that's not there too.
Right.
So don't argue about whether, just teach them the right thing. Because like you said, we don't know what God is
going to judge
somebody's salvation because they have music in their worship service.
Right.
We don't know how he's going to judge all this.
You know, another part is we have to consider, and, you know, y'all were sharing some thoughts and several people, and I think that, you know, to talk about the aspect of it where, you know, God has given us certain talents and so forth, some people saying, well, you know, people on the other side of the argument will say, but God has given people talent to play instrumental music, so why can't they use that talent to worship God and praise God and so forth. So when we get into those kinds of arguments, you know, they really, you know, there are those, you know, we say, well, the New Testament does not, there's nowhere in the New Testament that authorizes the use of instrumental music in worship. And those on the other side would say, well, there's nowhere in the New Testament that says you can't use it. That's their argument. So again, we get into these back and forth over things that really, you know, who's to know? But let me share this with you. Think about this, okay? Because this is something that we can know. And this is my primary, other than the noise that oftentimes instrumental music makes, and it becomes the center, as some people have said, you know, it's all about the music and so on and so forth. Consider this, okay? Again, going back to our heritage is one where what we are trying to do in the church is to be New Testament Christians, to do what the Bible shows us that the first century Christians did, to try to live as close to what they did as possible. All right? Well, here's a fact, okay? And you can go check this out. The first 400 years of Christian worship was absent instrumental music. Okay? In other words, instruments were not used, so far as history tells us, for the first 400 years of Christianity. Okay? So it wasn't used as part of worship. There's nothing we can find through history, through the early church fathers, through any writings in the first century, all the way up to the to 400 years later, where instruments were used in a Christian worship service. Okay? So, the second part of this is that when instrumental music began to be introduced into Christian worship, it started causing division in the church. Simply because there were those who said, wait a minute, we you know, there's nothing here that, you know, others there, we've never had it before, why do we need to have it now? And of course, you had those on the other side that are going, well, you know, yeah, the Bible doesn't say we can't, and so on and so forth. So we have those who say, this is what we want to do, we need it, whatever their justification, to introduce it into Christian worship, and it started causing division. Mm-hmm. Over this topic, churches divided. Okay? Are you hearing me? Mm-hmm. Now, again, as I said earlier, I don't know what God's going to do with that issue, okay? I do know what the Bible says about causing division. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's something we need to be carefully considering, not just over this, but over anything. If we try to force something into the church that's going to cause division, all right, then we have a problem. And we've got to seriously consider that. Instrumental music in worship has done that over and over and over again. Churches split over, and it's still going on today. Churches that have traditionally, and within our brotherhood, we've had churches that, you know, we haven't had it, and then you get a group that says, oh, we can do this, we can do that, and we can introduce it, we can, you know, and it's caused splits in those congregations. Because you have people who are insisting that it's okay, we can do it, and, you know, and so forth, we cause division. Okay? And causing division is wrong, okay? All right?
Then you got to pay them. If you get somebody from the outside, you know, to play this instrument,
yeah,
you know, in your congregation, you got to pay them. And sometimes you got to pay the member, too.
Yeah.
Everybody got to get paid.
Everybody got to get paid, that's yeah, right. Yeah. So.
Go ahead.
Russ, the net result is that we can't control those people who favor instrumental music, their opinion of us. We can control our opinion of them.
Right.
And the basic is we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We might think they're in error because of our background. But they're still our brothers and sisters in Christ, and there should be no reason why we shouldn't accept them and welcome them and love them and try to teach them about the way we feel.
Right.
But they're still our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah. Okay.
I have to go back to what Paul said. You know, all things are permissible to me, but it doesn't necessarily make
not everything is beneficial. Says,
okay,
right.
So I kind of put that in the same category as we don't drink. Okay, the Bible doesn't say we can't have a glass of wine, but we don't do it because we don't want somebody else to stumble. Okay, because of it. The Bible didn't say we can't dance, but a lot of Christians abstain from it. Why? Because they don't want to offend or have something that could lead to sin.
Right.
Okay? I think instrumental music is the same thing. We don't practice it, but it doesn't mean that we can't accept those that do.
Yeah. Well, I think that we have to look at it and understand it from the perspective of, you know, anything else that someone might want to do that would end up causing division, okay? You know, for instance, is there anything scripturally wrong with clapping in worship time?
No.
Okay, I don't know of anything there is, but I do know that we have people here who adamantly are opposed to doing that.
Yes.
Okay, you know, and we've talked about that, and, you know, I know Ray, I know where you stand on Ray's one who, you know, okay, so he feels that way about it, I feel a different way about it, so, and we have different people feel, okay, so what if some of us decided, well, you know what, there's nothing scripturally wrong with it, so we're going to start doing it. What do you suppose would happen?
It would cause a division.
Yeah, it would cause a lot of problems, okay? The issue is, can we worship without clapping?
Yes.
Sure we can. Can we worship without instrumental music?
Yeah.
Sure we can. So if we can do it fine without it, and by bringing it in and introducing it in, we know it's going to cause division, why do that?
Correct.
You see, that's wrong. That's against the scriptures, okay? When we do things that we know are going to cause division, that's wrong. And God's going to hold us accountable for causing division, whether what we're causing it over is acceptable to Him or not. You see, we have to consider that aspect of everything that we do. Okay? Again, it may be beneficial to us, okay? Or it may be permissible, rather, but it's not beneficial for us to do this, okay? And to me, when I look at these kinds of issues, that's how I look at them and say, okay, this is where I come down on it, and that's how I try to explain it to other people, okay? Again, I don't know what God's going to do with,
right,
you know, with those things, those kind of issues, all right? But I do know what He says He's going to do with those who cause division.
Right.
Okay? And we need to take that part very, very seriously. Okay? Because again, God's going to hold us accountable for those things.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Charlotte?
So it's like, okay, we might not clap our hands. But someone might come here and we're singing. Because we can sing some songs that make you...
Right. Sometimes it's like...
I mean, that spirit is in you. And you're going to... Because I know I find myself. And I'm not gonna stop.
Right.
When that spirit hit you, you might move, you might shake your head, you might want to clasp your hand together. And we might get somebody here one day that might do that.
Right.
And I hope none of us think that we are so big and that we are so right that you're gonna tell that person, oh, we don't clap our hands.
Yeah, you can't
here.
Do that either.
That's
yeah.
exactly right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like saying amen or that's right.
Yeah.
You know, if the minister or somebody is saying something, say it again, Russ. You know, it's just that spirit is moving in you. It's not for entertainment.
Yeah.
It's what that person.
Oh, what they're doing, yeah.
You know, it's feeling.
I remember one day I was, one Sunday I was preaching when we were down in Florida at Fort Walton Beach, and we had a large congregation, about 400 people in this fan-shaped auditorium. And we had this visitor as a lady sitting over on the side, and she was one of those, you know, amen, brother, preach it, brother. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, This was a black woman. We had a few black members, some of the military, so, but it was mostly white congregation, okay? And it was so funny to me, as I'm sitting under preaching, and this woman, she's getting into it. And every time she'd holler out, like it was like a wave, okay? Everybody's head in the auditorium was turning towards her, like, what's going on? You know, everybody's looking to see, who's doing that? It was almost comical. It was something, but it's like, you know, afterwards, I remember how I had a conversation with her, because she kind of like, you know, was I wrong for doing that? I said, no, I'm glad you did. It kind of woke up some people here, you know, kind of thing. You know, so, yeah, there's sometimes things that happen. There's nothing wrong with it. It's uncomfortable maybe to some people, but, you know, we got to look at some of those things in that way. But, again, the issue is let's make sure that whatever it is that we want to do, that it doesn't cause division among us, okay? All right, I got some hands going up here. Let me start over here and we'll go this way. All right.
You know, with adding that music, we know that for about 400 years that you're saying we didn't add music. Through scriptures, we're warned not to add things. Because God knew that it would create division. In Deuteronomy 4:2, it tells us don't add and subtract from God's word. In Revelations 22:18 and verse 19. And then some of it is not that it's a big issue, but he knew what it would create, just what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So when we add stuff, and we add it because who wants it?
We want it, right.
Not because God put it in place, because we want to add it. Mm-hmm. It's for our benefit.
Right.
And we get away from the heart and the true worship of God. And people will do it despite knowing that it will create division.
Right.
Because we want it.
Right.
And there's where the...
Oh, yeah, and I've seen that, you know, with various churches that, you know, where they've got a group that want to introduce it in there, and they know it's going to cause problems, but they don't care. They are going to push it because that's what they want. And to me, that is just so wrong. You know, they're going to have to give account to the Lord for that, you know. And see, that's what I want you to be able to look at. And somebody, you're talking to someone and about this topic, and they say, well, how come y'all want to use instrumental music? You can explain it to them from that perspective, okay, rather than taking the scripture out of context and everyone, but that doesn't, you know, that waters down any kind of argument whatsoever. You're going to take it out of context and use that as the reason for not doing it. And they go, but that's not about worship, is it? You know, what do you say? It's not. So stop using it, okay? Mm-hmm. Kathy, you had your hand up a moment ago.
I have that question off left field. You know, when Brian brought up Mark 14:26, I love that verse right there because that comforts me. Wasn't that kind of like a worship with him, with his apostles, or no? Because he was taking the Last Supper.
Yeah, but, you know, again...
Not really?
You know, if we're trying to get technical and trying to find technical arguments to say, oh, you see, Jesus was worshiping with his disciples, and that's what it said there, so that's our example. I wouldn't use that, okay? To me, you know, that people could see that and go, oh, you're stretching it,
okay.
You know?
But
again, to me, I think it was,
okay.
You know? But to use that as a argument to say, well, no, they didn't use music there, so that's a worship, so we can't use it. Again, to me, the easiest thing is to say, look, it wasn't used for 400 years of Christian worship, the first 400 years. Why do we need to use it now?
And that was in two different law periods.
Yeah. Can we worship God without it adequately?
Yeah.
Sure we can. Sometimes the singing's not the greatest in the world, but as Chuck pointed out, you know, God's the one that hears what we're singing. It's not about for us, you know. And that's one of the arguments people oftentimes use for instrumental music. Oh, well, we need it so it sounds better. Okay, to who? To us, you say. Let God take care of that, okay? Judy?
I always, first of all, when I talk to people, I mention... You know, the first century Christians did not have instrumental music. We try to follow the original church that the Lord built. Therefore, we don't use instrumental music. But at the same time, we need to be careful, because I have seen people being lost because too much emphasis was put on things that didn't really matter,
yeah.
You know. So we need to be really careful on how we stress the things of how we do them, because thus says the Lord, when in fact he did not,
right.
You know. So we need to be careful with this, because if we don't, we're going to lose people.
Well, again, the importance of this, significant of this morning is that you know, we have some tools that we can talk to someone about this, okay?
Exactly.
And again, what I want you to think about is in terms of not just instrumental music. The same argument applies to introducing anything, as we talked about before, that we know it's going to cause problems,
yes.
then just leave it alone. Okay? Leave it alone. So to me, that is the most valid argument that I know of for not introducing it, not using it, because I know that if we do, it's going to cause problems. And so, therefore, I'm going to stay away from it. Now, what about those who do? Again, I'm going to let God take care of that. That is so far above my pay grade to decide, you know, what ways to do that, that I'm not going to worry about it. Okay, so that's just something to consider and think about it in terms of that. But primarily for our study with this morning, and this is, let's make sure we don't take the scriptures out of context to try to prove a doctrinal point that we, you know, that we hold, and misuse the scriptures that way. Because when we do, we're not doing what God wants us to do.
Well, we basically, okay? if we do, then we're basically adding stuff to the scripture,
yeah.
that we're not intended to be there.
Well, again, we're doing all, what we oftentimes accuse other folks of doing is, you know, twisting scriptures to suit our doctrines, you know, when we don't have to do that, you say. Jerry?
Well, you know, it's coincidental that this is your subject, your topic this morning. Monday morning, I got a call from a niece and nephew right in Texas that we happened to be at my brother's birthday. And they were moving then from Amarillo to Dallas. And we were talking to them about Church of Christ, and encouraged them to just look it up. Just look it up.
Right.
They're going to a new city, just look it up. And she called me Monday night, and they attended Sunday. They were in the denominational, they're in the 70s, so they were in the denomination all their life. She was very active in the church, and he was the caretaker of the building. They said the music blew them away.
Yeah.
The music was just astronomical. She said she'd never heard of an a cappella group singing like that. And they were committed. I said, well, make sure you check him on his word, what he's telling you.
Yeah, that's right.
The music is great.
That's right, absolutely. Okay. I'm sorry. Ray, go ahead. You've been over there waving for a while, and
no.
I've just been missing you.
No.
Okay, I'm sorry.
The thing that got me, when I first went visiting the Church of Christ, they had a acapella song lead, of course. And I never really heard acapella singing. But the man is saying, I mean, that song is dope.
Right.
Linwood Roberts was his name. I never, ever forget that.
Right.
And the congregational singing was outstanding.
Yes.
Without the piano and all the other stuff. And it just makes a difference.
Yeah.
To me, and that kind of turned me on.
Yeah. Okay.
I like that.
I think also that if we have a cappella singing, that you pay more attention and really look into what you're singing about. And I think music, singing exactly, is within the body of Christ, has touched me more than singing with instrumental music, because you pay so much more attention to the words that you're using.
Right.
And to me, it's a form of worshiping God with your heart
right.
by the music you make.
Yeah, see, again, those are good, but those are personal preferences.
Right.
You have to understand that, okay? And so, you know, I have a personal preference that I prefer to worship without the instrumental music. But there are a lot of people that have a personal preference. They prefer to use the instruments in worship. So, you know, that's how we like it. But that's not a biblical argument. It's not a sound argument, you know, one way or another, either for it or against it, because that's what I like, okay? If you go by that, we have to be careful that, you know, we can use that same argument for all kinds of things, you know. You know, well, I like, you know, this, I like that, and next thing we know, we find ourselves far away from what God intends for us. So there's nothing wrong with having those personal preferences. I have them, okay? But again, those are not justification, really, not to, you know, biblically not to use it, okay? I'm sorry.
But the question is that you've mentioned already, would it cause division?
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And if you're going to cause division, don't.
Yeah.
Now let's stay away from it.
Exactly.
Because you're going to have to give an answer.
That's right.
Exactly.
You know, when you look at the Bible, whether it's the Old Testament or even Revelation, when there was an instrumental music was used, or instrumental sound, I should say, it was always for a specific person, reason. You know, like walking around the city several times, and then the trumpet would sound. Right. The trumpet would sound when Christ comes again. So there were times that the Bible mentions instrumental music, but it was always for a reason.
Yeah. Well, and somebody would say, but worship is a reason, isn't it? But people oftentimes use examples in the Old Testament, you know, David and, you know, and so forth, you know, as justification for using it in worship. Again, don't take it out of context, okay?
Exactly.
First of all. And secondly, we're talking about what they did under the Old Law in the Old Testament time versus what has been done under the law of Christ in Christianity. So, again, what I want you to be thinking about in terms of this is, okay, if somebody asks me about this, how am I going to answer them? Do I have an answer to give as to this that is a good, valid answer? Okay? So that's what I want you to feel confident in. Amy, you had your hand up a moment ago.
I just wanted to say, somebody prefers the music. I liked your description of you just can't have something that causes a division.
Right.
And, like, I prefer music with instruments sometimes, but I know that you can't have it.
Right.
Because it does cause division. So
right.
I liked your answer, so I will use that when someone asks me.
Yeah, again, and that applies to anything that we may be allowed to do, you know.
But doesn't always have a benefit.
Right. It's going to cause problems, and, you know, I keep my what I want, you know, away from that, because I know if I push what I want, it's going to cause problems. Why do that? Okay. All right. Okay, let's go to the next verse here, because this verse really it goes back to what we've been talking about, all right, and it also sets us up for what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
All right, verse 21. Okay, where he says, submit to one another out of reverence to Christ.
Well, there you have it.
Okay, so, you know, again, when we're looking at this in terms of what we just got finished talking about, where we're going to introduce this or that, whatever it is, it's going to cause some problems. How does that fit into that? Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ.
Didn't you say a couple of years ago that this is a Christian's mission statement?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I wrote in my Bible. I said,
yeah.
This is our mission statement in everything that we do.
Everything that we do. So, you know, we need to be having that attitude of whatever we're doing, that we're doing it out of reverence for Christ. So that handles the problem we brought up earlier, Brian mentioned earlier, you know, where, you know, I know we've never done this before, but I want to do it.
Right.
You say,
not
You know, it's all about me and what I want, and it's going to cause problems, but I don't care because I really want this. Well, how are you submitting to others out of reference to Christ when that's your attitude, again, about anything that you're wanting to do? Okay? And by the way, this is not, again, the context here is not about a worship service. It's about how we're living our life. And the reason that's significant is because does not the way we live our life need to carry over into our worship service?
Exactly.
You see? And how we're behaving and interacting with one another and submitting to one another, even within our worship time? It's all aspects of our worship. See, there is no... Nowhere in the New Testament, nowhere in the Bible that I know of anywhere, does it really call for us to give an example of us having a secular life and a religious life.
Exactly.
You see? Well, that we, you know, we can live this way when we're not worshiping, okay? But when we're worshiping, we need to do this. No, I don't know. Somebody show me where that is in the Bible. I've never seen it, okay? It's one life. And all these things we've been looking at in Ephesians, we said we began up to this point, he's talking about how we are living our daily life. That's what we've been saying over and over again. And our daily life includes our worship time. Is that not part of our life? You see? All right? So the same principle needs to apply there. Now, well, hang with me one second, Charlotte. From here, we're going to look at what Paul has to say about the relationship of husbands and wives, but he's really talking about the relationship of Christ and his church. Okay, so I want you to look ahead at that. And again, he sets that up with this very same statement. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. So next week, actually it'll be the week after next, because I'm going to be speaking over at Carson Street next week. Mike Green is going to be here. He's going to be teaching Bible class. So you got 2 weeks to be looking at this passage and focusing on this whole idea of submission. And here's a question for you to consider. Why do we have such a difficult time with submission? Just in general. Okay, Charlotte, you had a question or comment here, real quick.
Question, real quick. You said we're supposed to act accordingly, you know, worship, like we worship here, we're supposed to do it at home.
Right.
So, I listen to gospel music at home, and I listen to it with music.
Right.
Yep.
Song with music, and song, all depends on what I'm feeling like and what I really want to, you know, hear, or whatever comes up. So, is that wrong? Because I don't listen to music. Because we don't have music here. That
is that causing division for you somehow?
No.
No.
No, I don't mean that to be sorry.
No,
I'm just saying that's a way
to
answer that question.
Right, but I'm asking the question because how you said it. And so if someone come to my house because we don't have music here, and they come to my house, you're going to hear that music because that's what I'm playing. And I have to...
Now, if that person comes to your house and... they hear that, and maybe it's causing some problems for them. They go over to Romans 14. Can I listen to music without it while they're there?
I'm
not offending them? Isn't that what Paul talks about in Romans 14 about what we eat and don't eat and so on and so forth? So I had to consider that. I get into Cindy's car sometimes, and she's got the radio set on the whatever the Christian channel is, you know, message or whatever. I don't like to even listen to that because I can't understand a lot of the words.
Yeah, okay.
So I turn it off.
Oh.
But that's not a problem between her and I.
Okay.
Okay? She wants to listen to it. That's her prerogative. I don't care.
I listen to it too.
So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But again, I think the same principle applies. Don't allow that to cause someone else to stumble.
Exactly.
You see? All right. We're out of time. Chuck?
Ecclesiastes 3:1-8, there is a time for everything.
For everything.
Yes.
All right. Okay, thank you all very much.
Yep.
Thank you.